Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Well, good morning, Carolinas, as we commemorate Memorial Day and Memorial Day weekend. Good morning to you. You're listening to Carolina Focus on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, Mix 107.9, and 92.7 610 Sports Radio WFNC. Also available as a podcast. Go back anytime, WBT.com, and listen to any of our prior shows. Carolina Focus is your public affairs show. It's a combination of original interviews and choice encore segments from the past week, along with Sharon Thorsland. I'm Ed Billick. And a good mixture of topics this week. We start with a sobering topic coming off of those horrific murders at the elementary school in Uvalde, Texas this past week. Our cybersecurity expert, Teresa Payton, caught up with Beth Troutman and Bo Thompson earlier the week, and she addresses some of the social media concerns that are out there. And then we move over to the Carolina Panthers as they begin their OTAs. And we're going to do the full interviews with Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey, two of the more popular players, two of the more important players for our Carolina Panthers. And then we have a really cool interview in the second half of the show that Sharon did on nursing. So sit back and enjoy Carolina Focus on this Sunday morning.
News Talk 1110 WBT, Bo and Beth here, and on the WBT hotline, it's Teresa Payton, the founder of Fortiless Solutions, of course, former White House Chief Information Officer, and she joins us every week talking all things cybersecurity. And I guess first things first, you're in Santa Monica as we speak right now, right?
I am. One of my favorite places in the United States, and I had the honor and pleasure of spending the evening with the Wall Street Journal and guests that they invited to a roundtable discussion around all things cybersecurity that executives in sort of this general area are very concerned about. So most of the discussion was under Chatham House rules, Beth and Bo, but I'll tell you the topics ranged everything from what is happening with cryptocurrency, what do we need to be worried about next, what are cyber criminals going to be doing the rest of this year? So it was a fascinating and very in-depth conversation.
Well, speaking of cyber criminals, one of the stories that has been bothering me this week, it was a story I read recently about a teenager here in the U.S. The idea is these cyber criminals slide into the DMs on Instagram, social media sites, and then pretend that they're a female or pretend that they're a male and get the other person, usually a teenager, to send explicit photos of themselves. And then they turn around and use those to blackmail them or to ask for ransom. And just recently, this happened to a young boy who then just hours later committed suicide, fearing that those photos were going to be sent to his family. This is something parents should be aware of and something young people should be aware of too, right?
Yes. Thank you for bringing this up. And it's tragic. And my heart goes out to the family and to the friends who lost what sounds like an amazing young man.
Yes.
A couple of things here. First of all, social media companies need to cooperate with law enforcement. They can do better here. They can have algorithms that if they find that, you know, kind of potential pornography is being exchanged on DMs, you know, they can flag things. They don't need to spy. They don't need to snoop. They don't need to grab it. But there could potentially be grooming, trafficking, or something like this tragic event going on. So social media companies could be flagging and sending people, you know, a DM saying, is everything okay? How are you doing? So that's kind of one. They better be cooperating 100% with law enforcement to track down who did this. And we need to see people that do this get arrested, go to jail, and we need to cover it because they feel like there are no repercussions. Next, parents, children, and people who are counselors, teachers that interact with teens, tweens, and young adults. Please tell them there is nothing that they will do that cannot be solved together. and make sure they understand that these kinds of scams are happening. You cannot always believe what the person on the other end of the account says, even if it's an account of your friends. You never know if the account's been hijacked. But please, please do not commit suicide over something like this. There are resources that can help you remove these images. We will rally around the person who is a victim. We will not victim shame. And this is a conversation that needs to happen now. I don't want to see another young person take their life.
Absolutely. And as I read about this story, we have unfortunately talked in the last 6 months to a year about some suicides amongst teens in this area. Mm-hmm. And when you are looking back at what led to the ultimate events, a lot of time we're talking about mental health over time. And the thing about this story that strikes me and made me do a double take is the short amount of time it went from what seemed like zero to obviously the taking of one's life, because someone on the other end that is looking to do harm from a digital sense, mm-hmm. is able to play on the emotions of a minor. And and just the swiftness that this all mm-hmm. happened is, to me, just unbelievably concerning.
It is. And this is where, you know, Bo, you and I have talked about this before. You sit down with your children and you come up with code words. In my family, it's I'm invoking the safe zone. And that is an invitation to your children where you say, tell me what's going on the internet. I promise not to overreact. I promise not to ground you. And I promise whatever you tell me, we will work on this together and we will solve it together.
Okay, next up, Teresa, we've heard the phrase talk to text. There's a new one this week that you put on our radar here that listeners probably going to be interested in. It's called text to image AI.
Yes, it's kind of the hot new thing to do. So it's a text to image generator. And you basically give it some text and it will make something up from nothing using AI. I guess be careful what you wish for. So this is that conversation, Beth and Bo, around when does cool technology cross over into creepy? We're creating faces and cats and dogs that never existed before by using an AI algorithm and software and databases of photographs to create these. So this could be really cool. So if you need a mental image of a peaceful, tranquil place to help you focus, you can create that. Or if you want to make yourself laugh, you can create something that makes you laugh. But this, again, is sort of the blurring of lines of just because you can, should you really do it? And does it create, you know, sort of confusion or a lack of, you know, all different types of societal kind of conversations need to happen about this technology and the proper uses for it. But on the cool side, I could see where it's incredibly appealing.
I think it's funny that you, because my head immediately went to the potential for the dark side of this and what people could talk to text and try to create that then they might just have living on the internet or might put out onto the internet that might include your face, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, and if you think about, you know, kind of on that dark side of things, I mean, look no further than poor Scarlett Johansson, who has bravely come forward and said the deep fake AI cottage industry has tried to ruin me because they will do deep fake videos of pornography and other things that Scarlett has not done, but it looks like Scarlett, according to her. So she has really sort of bravely led the way around sort of what are the ethics around just because you can does it mean you should? And right. So that's kind of the concern I have is that, you know, sort of on the cool side, you could see, you know, one of the images that was shared was, I don't know why you want a raccoon queen, but there's a raccoon queen that somebody conjured up. But you could see where people, you know, there's a dog looking in a mirror and instead of seeing himself, he actually sees a cat. So you could see where there's something kind of interesting or ironic or comedic about this, but it can quickly go to the dark side. So it'll be interesting to see over time, these text to AI generators, will they have to create moderators?
Right.
Will they have to say, I'm not going to generate that image? You know, how are they going to govern this?
All right, lots going on. Teresa Payton, our cybersecurity expert. Doesn't matter if it's from Santa Monica or Charlotte or wherever. She always calls us and talks every week, and we thank you for that. We'll talk next time.
Yes, and it's always great to talk to the two of you, and Bo and Beth, be safe out there.
All right, let's get a little sports update from the OTAs, the spring OTAs held this past week. Let's get started with Christian McCaffrey, our star running back, who hopes to be healthier this year. We start with him responding to Deonta Foreman, the new running back that Panthers picked up in the offseason, right here on Carolina Focus.
We just spoke to Dante, and you know, he's going to come in, of course, be behind you. But what have you seen from him so far? Did you know anything about him beforehand?
Yeah, I've known him since high school, actually, and we were the same class in high school. I haven't known him personally, but I think we played in the All-American game together, and then just followed him from afar as a fan when he was at Texas, and you know, just I think that class of running backs is pretty special. We're in the same year too, so he came out the same year as me, and it's cool being able to, you know, just go back in time and see some of that stuff. But it's been great working with him, you know, to get his perspective from the different teams that he's been on, and you can tell he's a pro, so it's just nice to share the room with him.
Christian, Matt said that they are exploring a different approach with you at practice this year. He didn't go into great detail, assuming that, I don't know what it means, smarter approach, whatever. Is that something they've discussed with you, and you kind of like the way that's heading?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anytime you know, there's a way to make it so you can, you know, be a little fresher on game day, always for it. But, you know, we have such a good staff, and obviously Coach Rule's on top of it. And just coming out with a good plan that we know. And plans always change, but just open door of communication has been great. And, you know, don't want to overthink it, but it's just been nice, you know, looking at the different avenues to just make sure I'm ready to roll for each game.
Is that, you know, less steps and yardage on the GPS kind of thing? Is that what that will end up looking like?
Well, I think the good part about OTAs is you get to flirt with a lot of those things and really figure out, you know, and that's why I said the communication is from me to them. Hey, how'd you feel today? And I just respect a lot the fact that they're willing to have open communication with me on that, and the trust in that of knowing that I'm going to give them an honest answer, and we'll go from there. But right now I think we're just, you know, having fun with it, playing with different warm-ups and different things here and there, and that's the beauty of this time right now. But I feel great, and I'm just excited about this year.
Christian, understanding that, you know, some of the injuries that you've had, or maybe, you know, nothing you can do about it, just a contact injury, was there anything that you did differently this offseason to tweak your training program, or just stick with what you have been?
No, you know, once again, you're always changing stuff, always looking to see how you can get better, how you can, you know, get bigger, faster, stronger, smarter. One thing I've done is I've reached out to a lot of backs who have played, and a guy I'm really appreciative for, Marshall Faulk, gave me some great advice. I'll keep that between me and him, but just listening to what he had to say and the different things that he did in the offseason at different points, and, you know, injuries or not, sometimes you got to change your offseason and your approach. But like I said, the challenge in that is you know, kind of going away from some of the stuff you've done and trusting that. But that's also the beauty of it. And, you know, if there's some things that can tack on a few more years and prevent some stuff, and I'm all in. But I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. I trust my process and the team of people I have around me, and I'm extremely excited for this year.
Christian, it sounded like at the end of the year you were talking about maybe not doing as much in the off season. How did you balance that, and how do you balance that, making sure you're ready but making sure you're not maybe overtraining?
I think it's just a, you know, constant listening to your body, and I think that's the best way to sum it up. You know, just listen to my body. You know, do all the little things correct. Eat right, sleep right, eliminate any kind of other energy exertions, and you know, I know how I feel, and so just trusting in that, and not overdoing it and not underdoing it. But I think, you know, whether guys have had injuries or not, that's something that every NFL player goes through in the off season, is when to do what. But that's the fun part about it, you know, trying to figure it out. All I know is I feel great now, so you know, I haven't felt anything wrong. I feel great, and I'm excited for the year.
What have you seen so far from Ben McAdoo in this new offense that he's implemented?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think everyone on the offense has just been a sponge. He's somebody who's, you know, obviously had a lot of experience at the highest level, He's also coached different positions, and so he has such a plethora of knowledge when it comes to coaching offensive football. And so, man, I've just been trying to learn everything I possibly can, and it's just been a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, it's up to us to execute all the things that he puts into play. You know, players, we got to go out there and execute, and we have the right attitude as an offense right now to do that.
Kristen, on the subject of Ben McAdoo's offense, his offense really places a lot of emphasis on the passing game. I saw you doing some work as a receiver today. So how much of a grasp do you have right now on what the expectation is going to be as far as the balance between running the ball and being a receiver?
You know, right now I'm just focused on meetings and practice tomorrow and watching the tape today. You know, we're in, day two of true OTA, so that'll all happen as it comes. But I, you know, whatever they tell me to do, I'm going to do. Whether it's line up at F, X, Z, or H, I'll be ready for it. And once again, it's just figuring out how to do all that as best as I possibly can wherever they need me to be. That's just where I'm at right now, and just trying to perfect this playbook and, go out there mentally, be 100%, physically be 100%, and ready to roll.
Do you seek out Marshall's advice in part because he was such a similar player and kind of style as you?
Yeah, you know, I think, there's always room to grow and learn, and he's a guy who had success, but had success for a long time, and I'm just somebody that I've always looked up to, and he's always been great to me, and so I figured I'd reach out to him on some of that stuff, and I think years 6, 7, and 8 were really good years for him, and that's kind of why I picked his brain.
How long have you known him, and how did you two connect?
I just reached out. You know, I haven't. I'd met him through the grapevine a little bit, but nothing. You know, going back in the day, just really kind of me reaching out to somebody who's had a lot of success and somebody that I look up to.
Matt Rule talked about seeing Sam Darnold and seeing him have a focus. I'm just curious, from your perspective, what have you seen from Sam Darnold in this offseason?
He's been great. He's been dialed in. I think it's been great for him to be around Coach McAdoo, who's had experience with some great quarterbacks. And so, but he's been awesome. And, right now he's running the ship and everybody's behind him.
A bunch of new faces on the offensive line. It seems like a couple of them really like to go downhill, block, run block, things like that. I know you're just in shorts. Can you see any of that kind of like nastiness that may be on the line this year?
Yeah, I think that, you see it in the tape over the years that these guys have put out. And I think you just see it in the energy that they bring to practice. They're the first ones to the ball. They take pride in every drill, whether it's on air or not. And you have some great leaders in there. I think the addition of bringing in a guy like Corbett, Taylor Moten stepping up as a leader, Pat Elfine becoming a leader on this team as well. Obviously, Michael Jordan with a year and with the Panthers, and then the left tackle position where you got multiple guys who can play. And so I think for me, the thing that I notice is just the energy that those guys bring. And as a running back, when your O-line has energy, you definitely get excited. So I'm fired up.
Chris, last one, you mentioned, or you were asked about Sam, and Matt referenced that this was kind of a tough offseason for him with the team pursuing Deshaun, trading for Matt. How have you seen him respond and come in here, and have you seen any differences with Sam this offseason?
He's a pro, and at the end of the day, this is a business, and nobody's exempt, and that's myself included. I'm fortunate to be here, and I'm thankful that I'm still here, and I take that very personally, and I think he does too. If they can get somebody that they like, and like I said, that's from the quarterback position to the running back position to receivers, they're going to do it. And it's up to us every day to put out good tape and to execute on game day and to be there. So he's handled it like a pro, and I think that's something that a lot of us respect, is he's come in every day and worked hard and is continuing to grow as a leader as well. And I think we're all following that.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for
appreciate you.
Up next, quarterback Sam Darnold. He'll be trying to demonstrate, is he worthy to be our starting quarterback?
Matt Rule talked about you, that he's noticed you with an edge or a focus. What do you make of that? Why is that, if that is true?
I think, I try to come with that mindset every offseason. I try to have an edge. I try to have, a certain focus about me. It's not because of any situation or what have you. It's just because of the mindset you got to have coming into OTAs and trying to get everything right with the new system and, you know, trying to feel out, you know, personnel, you know, what we're going to do in certain situations. So, you know, I'm just trying to feel it out and have a great attitude about it.
What do you make of it so far? Ben McAdoo's new offense?
I love it. I love it. You know, it's we're putting in a lot, and it's a good thing. You know, it's good that we've been putting in a lot of the offense, and you know, we're going back over it a second time now during this phase three, and you know, it's been good. You know, we got a lot more to learn, and we got to continue to get used to it. But it's been really good.
Sam, you said you try to go to every offseason with an edge. Was this offseason any different at all, just knowing kind of what everything that was going on? And
you know, I think everyone, including myself, you know, everyone knows the situation. But, you know, with that being said, it doesn't change my mindset, you know, going into the offseason. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, I have a great attitude about myself going into every day. And again, just trying to soak up and learn the offense as much as I can. And I know everyone on the offensive and defensive side of the ball is doing the same thing.
So what is your relationship like with Matt, and what have you seen from him for the first couple of days? And what do you just think about this whole situation? Trying to, you know, you're obviously the starting quarterback, but you also want to help him out as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Matt's been great. You know, we're just learning together, you know, obviously with him coming in a little bit later, you know, just trying to teach him, you know, some certain things that you wouldn't necessarily learn in college, like cadence and, you know, different things that are just, you know, people aren't doing nowadays in college. So, you know, there is a learning curve there, but just trying to teach him as much as possible.
Sam, what do you remember about the phone call I think Scott said he made to you when they said they were going to pursue Deshaun? And what was your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, we had a conversation before I left, actually, for exit interviews. And he said, you know, just that, you know, they're going to, you know, see what different opportunities might come up. And, you know, he wasn't saying one thing or the other. He didn't even bring up Deshaun specifically. But, you know, for me, it's just focusing on what I can control and worrying about getting after it every single offseason, making sure that I'm healthy going into OTAs and staying healthy through OTAs and getting to training camp, having a good grasp of the system, and going about it that way.
Sam, how do you handle something like that? I mean, you know, you hear Deshaun stuff, they went after him, and then you hear Baker and Jimmy Garoppolo, the draft quarterback. I mean, how do you stay focused and kind of block that stuff out?
Yeah, I think you just answered your question. I mean, it's just you got to stay focused. You got to block everything out, and there's different ways to go about it. You know, I don't pay attention much to any of that stuff, but obviously you hear rumors and different things. So, you know, I have a great family, great friend group that I lean on, great teammates, great coaches, and we're really just focused on learning the system right now. And you know, it's fun being in that locker room right now and just enjoying every single day and being able to go out there and practice again during OTAs and just continue to stay focused on the goal, you know, learn the system at hand, which is Coach McAdoo's. And, you know, it's been good so far. It's been really good learning that verbiage and going about it with these guys. It's been really fun.
Sam, did you change anything this offseason in terms of the way you prepare, knowing you're going to have to learn a whole new thing coming in this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it starts with watching the tape and fundamentals. You know, there were times last year where my feet got very, just loose, I think is a good term, and chaotic. So I think focusing on really calming my feet down and understanding, you know, the footwork that goes into every single play and what the different reads are within the play, and just being very, when I go up to the line of scrimmage, understanding what we got and understanding what the defense is and just dissecting it and going about it that way.
Have you had a chance to, understand why your feet get, loose, in a sense?
Yeah. I think for me, it really starts with really just understanding the offense, understanding the defense, and really going out there with the confidence, knowing that, you know, I can go out and, you know, as long as I know, you know, what we're doing, what the defense is doing, you know, I'm confident that I can be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, I'm just going to continue to go out there and do that. And, you know, it comes with right now, it's just preparing. It's just understanding the system, really making sure I got it down as much as I can. And that's pretty much where we are right now.
So was last year's system difficult to understand or a little more difficult?
No, I think it's just learning from some of the mistakes that I made in terms of, you know, going into a game plan and communicating some different things.
Sam, you talked about controlling what you can control. Even now in May, the Panthers have not necessarily ruled out looking at another veteran quarterback. But here now, do you feel like this is your time to sort of grab the job and tell them they don't need to do that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's focusing on what I can do right now. And, you know, I'm not looking at free agents. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's their job in the front office. And so for me, I'm just going to focus on what I can control right now, which is learning the system and going out there and executing on the field.
Do you think you are playing with more of an edge, or is that really not your style?
I think it's just having confidence in my feet and in the system to be able to go out there and put the ball where it needs to be and trust my eyes.
From a mentality standpoint, I know you try to keep everything constant, but how much of it is a tangible thing knowing that this is a contract year and, you know, anything beyond this year is not really promised to you?
Yeah, I think if I were to think about it like that, you know, I could get caught up in the wash and you start to think about, you know, obviously when I get asked a question like that, you know, you start maybe thinking about it for a second, but, you know, when I'm in the meeting room, you know, I'm focused on learning the system. And when I'm on the practice field, I'm focused on executing that play. You know, you're not really, and even in the games, you're not focused on, you know, this is a contract year, I better, you know, ball out. Obviously that can be your mindset, but as a quarterback, you gotta be constant and you gotta be consistent every single day and every single play. So, you know, it's tough to think about, you know, what if or what can happen in the future.
Regarding your footwork, Coach Rule mentioned Ben McAdoo's, you know, adding a punch step, you're switching what foot you have forward. Mm-hmm. What about those changes are advantageous for you as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think it's just locking into to my feet and tying everything in, you know, every concept. There's a, you know, certain footwork that we take, and, you know, we're taking whatever it is, like no hitch to this guy, hitch up to that guy, and then if, you know, we take two hitches, usually we're getting to the back, or, you know, that, you know, that's just one example, but it's just having a rhyme and a reason to every single play, and when you tie it in with your feet, you know, it helps you as a quarterback. I mean, I think we're executing pretty well, but obviously there's a bunch of things to clean up, but, you know, I got to continue to work on, you know, my feet and getting comfortable with it, so whether that's just continuing to practice it and even when we break for OTAs and mandatory mini camp, I think, you know, continuing to focus on my feet and focus on the system every single day.
Do you feel at all like this is a make or break year for you, as far as you being a starter in this league for?
I mean, I think that's kind of, you know, whatever narrative, you know, you guys want to drive. I mean, it's really not up to me, to be honest. You know, I can think about it like that. I might not think about it like that. You know, who knows? But you know, for me, it's going out there. Like I said, it's really going out there and just playing every play like it's my last. And, you know, it's understanding, like, okay, what's my job on this play? And, you know, there's enough that I have to think about as a quarterback every single play. Then, you know, if you start to add in the mix, oh, this is a contract year, and, you know, what are they going to do? What am I going to do after this if I don't play well? You know, if you start thinking about that stuff, playing quarterback's hard enough.
Sam, one of the things that got written at this time last year was about how the juxtaposition of this market to New York and how this place was more easygoing compared to the intense pressure of New York. And it feels like the scrutiny that you were under in New York almost followed you down here. But what have you learned about the pressure to perform and to be a winning quarterback in the Carolinas that maybe you didn't know at this time last year?
Yeah, I mean, this town loves winning. And when you don't win, you know, just it's tough, you know. It's not only tough, obviously, for us in there, you know, but it's tough for the fans, and we get that. So we're going to do our best this year to win ball games, trust me. And we're working every single day to do it. But, yeah, I think it's an interesting point, too, with, you know, just talking about that, just with, like, social media and different things, like, you know, New York media, LA media, you know, those are usually bigger media platforms. But nowadays with social media, cameras everywhere, you know, everyone sees everything. And so it's a media market everywhere. And it's fun, though. I love playing ball in the Carolinas, and I love these fans.